This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good morning, everyone. Along with Matt Harkins, who's back at the studio, taking your calls at 412-928-9370. This is Bob Pompiani. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your weekend, and we'll continue to talk to you for the next couple of hours. All you have to do is call us at 412-928-9370, or you can text that number for the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Follow the station on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. So we have a lot to get into today, and a lot of it centers around football, of course, because not only is this a big college football weekend, but some very big NFL games to talk about. But I'm going to begin by talking about something that started this week, and it seems like it doesn't get any better as time goes on, even though the numbers are very much overwhelming, and that is the national diss that Ben Roethlisberger gets. We talked about it this week only because, once again, it was very clear to see when Chris Sims came out with a top 10 quarterback list, and I get it, you know, really. He's trying to get conversation, hits, attention, he's done all of that. And I'm probably complicit in helping him do that because I'm going to mention it again. But I just find it interesting that someone who's had the kind of experience that he's had can make a top 10 list through 10 weeks of the season and not have Ben Roethlisberger, or for that matter, Tom Brady, on it. He does have guys on there who, quite frankly, are not having the best of seasons compared to Ben. And if it is truly an analysis of the first 10 games of the season, then how do you have Joe Burrow on it? How do you have Ryan Tannehill on it? How do you have Deshaun Watson on it? How do you have Lamar Jackson on it ahead of Ben Roethlisberger? Because Ben Roethlisberger has won all those meetings head-to-head against those guys. If you need more, all you have to do is look at what happened last year, where they struggled last in so many offensive categories without him en route to an 8-8 record. And this year, the Steelers are 9-0 with him. Is there one major difference? Yes. It's because Roethlisberger is quarterbacking this team. That's the major difference. Pro Football Focus, which I enjoy, but I also find myself criticizing quite a bit. And this week, especially so, because Pro Football Focus went so far as to say, I think his name is Manson, I'm not sure what his name is, but anyway, he said Ben Roethlisberger is, quote, holding back the Steelers from becoming elite. And then ESPN.com said they may even cut Roethlisberger at the end of the season. Now, listen, all you have to do is play the eye test, understand how the Steelers operate to know that they're not going to do that. If anything, there could be an extension to lower the cap for Ben Roethlisberger. That's a much more likely situation. But anyway, that's what we find ourselves doing here quite a bit. And again, I don't feel like I should be doing it as a personal service to anyone. I'm trying to say, how do you make these conclusions based on watching 10 weeks of this regular season? If you want to tell me over the next 5 years that some of these quarterbacks are going to be people you would take over Roethlisberger, I would agree. Because 5 years takes you into your 40s, and who knows what the future holds. I'm saying for right now, after 10 games, how is Ben Roethlisberger not top three? He should be in the MVP conversation. So, call me, 412-928-9370, if you would like to talk more about that. Because I do, and I feel like I should be you know, not doing it as much as we do, but every time one of these lists come out, I get to the point where I get, okay, come on, really? This is what's going to happen? So job well done, Chris. You got us to talk about you and your website or your whatever you put it on. That's fine. Steelers have an interesting game tomorrow coming up against Jacksonville. It's interesting because Jacksonville is a bad football team. But the Steelers have had their issues down there at times and not playing good football. I don't think this will be the week that that happens. And I say that because of what's on the line here. The Steelers are 9-0. But they're motivated to continue to win, not because they're searching for a perfect record. That's a conversation that has been happening recently, and I understand it. But that's not the reason why. The reason why is because Kansas City is right behind them with one loss. And in a season, if it continues the way it goes, and hopefully there won't be any major changes to the schedule, where the number one seed is the only team in the conference that gets a bye, that is immensely important to anyone who gets it. The statistics will bear that out. But the Steelers want to keep winning for that reason. So they have Jacksonville. Jacksonville gave Green Bay everything they could handle last week in a 24-20 loss at Lambeau Field. They use another sixth-round draft pick at quarterback. Gardner Minshew was a sixth-round pick. He's been injured. Jake Luton is the man. And, you know, he's certainly capable. But more important than that is they have a run game that's been very good. And given the fact that the Steelers have had problems stopping the run recently, that's an area that you need to concern yourself with. James Robinson is the rookie, and Mike Tomlin was just effusive with praise for James Robinson, and his story is a pretty interesting one because he is undrafted. He's a guy who was not given much of a chance, and I always like talking about those guys, too, because we've seen many of them in Steelers history. They come along not draft picks, which means you got to work your butt off just to get the opportunity in the first place, and when you get it, there's no guarantee you're going to, you know, force yourself onto a roster, but he has done that. He has been terrific, and no undrafted rookie running back through 10 games has more yards than James Robinson in the history of the game, almost 700 yards rushing, 4.5 average. So that's going to be a challenge for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were real good against it early on, not so much lately, getting gouged with big yardage against, although I will caution you that last week was the numbers were misleading because a lot of them came on one play, a lot of them came late in the game. I think the Steelers are still poised to get that run defense back to where it was early in the season. So, the Steelers should have a decided advantage there. They should go on and win that game fairly easily, which sets up another game we can talk about today, because before we get back together next Saturday, we're going to have this game, and we're going to have one on Thursday night, on Thanksgiving night. And that should be very interesting, when the Ravens come to town. The Ravens are a team that is reeling right now. You know, 6 wins, 3 losses, but they're sputtering a little bit on offense. And while this is going on, they take on a team that's also sputtering. So it will be interesting to see what happens in that game. It's Tennessee-Baltimore, that one at M&T Bank Stadium. Both teams are 6-3, so these losses, whoever gets them, are magnified because they're conference losses. And this is why the Steelers, in their pursuit of a number one seed, don't necessarily have to run the table. But it's who you lose to that matters. You know, they have teams not in their division. They have teams, you know, that they really can't afford to lose to when it comes to tiebreakers with Kansas City. And that's why I think you won't see them go undefeated, but I don't think you'll see more than 2 losses at the very most. And then it depends on who they lose to. But the Titans and the Ravens, both the 6-3, and Tennessee has really struggled of late. And Derrick Henry, for as good as he is, has great games and then not so great games. It's hot or cold with him. And when he's on, it's terrific. We saw what happened last year when they visited Baltimore and ran it right down the Ravens' throats. And on the other side of that ball, then you have the situation with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, who is not winning games after they trail in games. And he has really had a hard time with that. They've tried to come back. They lost to New England last week, and it was, I understand, a monsoon up there in New England, so it was hard to do anything. But they relied more on his legs than his arm. And at some point, he has to pull his team out of those situations. They got one of the best kickers in the game. They were in position to do something there and couldn't move the ball. So Ravens have their own issues. That's going to be a physical game, which I think plays into the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coming up on Thursday night in Pittsburgh. Physical, emotional game. And I really think that you're in a situation where if they could win that game against Jacksonville, which I expect them to do, they're going to have a big advantage going into the game against Baltimore, which absolutely has to win it. You know, if they don't, if they lose to Tennessee and Pittsburgh, all of a sudden they're 6-5 and they're looking on the outside, looking in with some other teams possibly getting it ahead of them. And nobody would have thought that at the beginning of the season. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Brian in Baldwin, who joins us here on the Fan Hotline. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
So here's my thing. Chris Sims. I can't believe we're giving this guy this much attention. When's the last time he's won an NFL game? He is horrendous just because he's not like Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport that actually come up with some good stuff. Chris,
well, this is opinions, O'Brien. First and foremost, those two other guys just come up with news based on the offices. This is an opinion thing, and he's hired by NBC to do that. So, you know, ruffling the feathers is something that was probably in his mirror. He was trying to do that.
You said it the best. The last thing you said about him, if we don't think how important he is to us, look at last year, how we missed him. Just how he missed the guy that everybody loves to hate in some ways. The guy is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we get to watch it play like you got to watch Bradshaw play when he was playing. I didn't. You watched a Hall of Fame quarterback play. We're getting to do the same with Ben Roethlisberger. So he's just, to me, he's highly underrated.
Well, nationally, he's never been given his due. Even, you know, and I guarantee you there were people at the beginning of this year who wanted to see him fail nationally. Because those same people were the ones who were blaming him for Antonio Brown's problems. Those same people were blaming him for Le'Veon Bell and his whatever problems were. I mean, come on. At some point, you have to look at this through the, you know, prism of your own eyes and not analytics. I sometimes get the feeling here, Brian, the people who do this look at strictly stats and stats only, and they're not watching the games. And if you do that, I think sometimes you miss out on what truly is happening. So there's got to be a mix involved with these kind of things, but typically you don't see that.
Real quick, can I just say one quick thing?
Sure.
So a couple years ago, this was an interesting thing that I found. They were pulling all the general managers and head coaches, and this is when Peyton Manning was playing, and actually after that. And they said, what quarterback do you want to win a game, Tom Brady? What quarterback do you want to lead a fourth quarter comeback? They were saying, I think it was Peyton Manning. And then they said if there was one play left in the game, one play, to win the game, which quarterback would you want running your offense? 90% of the coaches and general managers picked Ben Roethlisberger to run one last play to win a game because what he does, he has that innate ability when a play breaks down to win the game. He just has it.
Well, he does, and it's not as great as it once was in terms of his ability to get out of the pocket or pressure. I mean, he does that, but he's not going to look to do it. But I think overall, given the fact that he's getting the ball out in record time this year, they're hitting guys in stride, and for that he pays the price too, Brian, and thank you very much for the call. People criticize, well, look, he can't throw the ball deep now. All of a sudden it's just dink and dunk and underneath. All right, that's part of the game plan. Again, remember, he's coming off elbow surgery at age 38. I saw a great indication that the arm is totally fine last week where he hit Deontay Johnson down the sidelines right in the breadbasket 46 yards down the field. So, you know, you can think whatever you want to think. Does he have to get more prolific down the field? Yes. At least more consistent? Absolutely. But I think that's in the repertoire. But I think the game plan is to get the ball out, mostly because their run game has struggled so much. And that's going to be something we talk about next. So call 412-928-9370. We'll talk about that. When we get into some of the college football dilemma that we see here today, another game. This is the latest I've seen a game postponed. Florida State Clemson. 3 hours before kickoff, and boom, all of a sudden there's an illness or two or whatever it is, and they call the game. And Clemson's already there, ready to go. That is a first in this crazy COVID world in which we live. All right, welcome back as we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Got a couple of things to tell you. Our show is brought to you by the good people of Allegheny Health Network, Health for All, and really doing a great job on the front lines of COVID care. PNC Bank, make today the day. Number one Cochran, go one better with number one Cochran, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, and Ireland Contracting, the home of the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call on Pittsburgh CW. And you know, people wait all year for the Black Friday deals. Well, at Jim Shorkey Key at North Huntington, they have them all month long. Famous Black Friday deals available every day in November. 2021 Kia Forte LXX for just $152 a month. The all-new 2021 Kia K5 LXX with available all-wheel drive, only $158 a month. Check them out at jimshorkykia.com. And I was rummaging around down here, Matthew Harkins, and I don't know if you're one of these people like, I didn't realize how you have to treat your air ducts. So I got the good people from Zero Res, and my man Seth had to come out and clean my air ducts. Matt, do you know how important your air duct cleaning is? I didn't know this, actually. Did you?
You think I would, but I don't.
No, I mean, I think most people don't, because you don't realize all the stuff that could build up in there, and if you don't clean it out, you could be in trouble anyway. So I was rummaging around some stuff. Sorry if you heard that in the background. But thanks to Seth and Zero Res for helping me out with the air duct cleaning. They do a fantastic job. 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. So we continue with the Steelers. Just real quick, I want to throw out their run game, because it obviously has to improve. You can't keep relying on pass to win. I know that's more of their identity, but when you call here, if you have an opinion about what you've seen from the run game and who is more responsible for the lack of success, is it schematic? Is it personnel up front? Is it the running backs themselves, specifically James Conner? But I know this, they want to fix it and they want to make it better because they have to. There are going to be times when you need it for a lot of, you know, we saw it early in the season at the Houston Texan game. Late in the game, they had to run out the clock, and they did it by running the ball down Houston's throat. You have to be able to do that at some point. You don't want incomplete passes stopping the game clock when the other team needs to preserve time, that sort of stuff. And I think if you do that, you have a better chance of closing out games. That's just my opinion, so it has to get better. I think schematically, they're not as committed to it, and I think as a result, you talk to anyone who's been in those offensive lines, number one, you have to have cohesion, which for them generally has been pretty good. They've moved some guys around. They have some younger guys. But also you have to have the mindset to get it done. And right now they're a pass first team, it looks like to me, which is fine, but you've got to be able to still dial up the run when you need it. All right, back to the lines we go. We got Bill on the cell who joins us today. What's up, Bill? How are you today?
Hey, great, Bob. I appreciate it. Hey, this is I agree with the stuff you're talking about, Steelers. But real quick, I just wanted to shoehorn one comment about the Whipple. There is a phenomenal, potentially phenomenal game coming on at 1 o'clock and, between Governor Mifflin from the Reading area and Pine Richland. These are two teams. Pine Richland, I think they had a 47-point differential in victory, and Governor Mifflin's coming in with a 49.5
wow.
differential, and some really, really stud offensive players on this, too. So it's 1 o'clock, and it could be a good game to not miss.
No, I agree. Actually, that game is going to be carried on KDKA 100.1 FM or 1020 AM. So if you want to listen to it, Bill, you have an opportunity, unless you're there. I suspect you're on your way there, or are you going there? Okay. I don't know if he's going there or not. Anyway, that brings into play this new mask mandate that we saw Secretary of Health Rachel Levine and Governor Tom Wolf about outdoor and indoor events, and this includes sporting events. They're basically saying that you got to wear masks pretty much everywhere, although the Steelers then released a statement saying that the governor's office pretty much made it clear Steeler players do not have to wear masks while playing in games. Pitt is also exempt, although Pitt originally said that they were going to make people in today's game wear masks, and they have suddenly changed their mind on that. And it's very confusing at this point. Because it's gone back and forth. This is what a statement from Pitt came out late in the week. Quote, to provide further clarity, Pitt football student athletes will be outfitted with face coverings throughout the game. However, that to me is a big concern. When you mask, you know, these guys are running at a high rate of speed, there's oxygen necessary. I think if that causes a medical condition or a respiratory situation on the field, that's not a good thing to have either. So, you know, generally speaking, when it comes to masks on the field, we haven't seen, to me, a real indication of transmission of the coronavirus in games. You see it away from the arena. You know, if you look back at what the NHL did in its bubble, what the NBA did in its bubble, and clearly, you know, these teams have money to spend, so they get the best testing and they have it readily available whenever they do. That is obviously a key in trying to mitigate this. However, even, you know, in baseball, originally they had some issues and they cleared them up once everyone became aware of, you know, your responsibility to kind of keep yourself and others protected. And it's not that big of a thing to ask, especially, you know, we got to get through this, and we will. And I think in the spring you'll start to see some success because vaccines by then will be going, whatever. But in the meantime, these guys are tested so much, I don't think they need to wear face masks on the field. And I think if you talk to all of them, you'll get 90% say that they don't want that, the situation. Now, does that mean they shouldn't have them on the sideline while they're standing there? Yeah, they should, just like the coaches are expected to do that. But in the game themselves, I'm not so sure if it's necessary, given the testing. Now, that's not the case in high school sports or anything else. And I know the PIAA has wondered about that because originally they did not get a call back and they wanted more explanation from this. But it was interesting. I was reading an article. I think Mike White did it. He's always on top of these high school stories. And in it, he was saying the PIAA Sports Medicine Committee recommended that masks not be worn by athletes when they are competing. So you have a various amount of opinions on this subject. Anyway, back to Steelers. I want to hear what you have to say about whether or not they need the run game to be better. And if so, how do they do it? Because it's not been very good so far. And sometimes the Steelers will use that underneath passing game as an extension of the run game, which I understand. Again, my point, though, with it is you need to get it better so that when you need it, when you call upon it, it works. It hasn't worked. If you're in a situation where you're throwing the ball 90% of the time trying to kill clock, one or two incompletions can stop the clock, and you know how precious time is in the NFL, especially in the fourth quarter. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let's go to Matt in North Hills. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bob, I just wanted to talk about Pitt real quick. And I really hate to say this as a lifelong fan, and someone that always has rooted for them to win, but I'm almost hoping they don't win against Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech, or at least not both of them, because frankly, I'm not sure a 6-5 season does more good than it does harm, because all we'll do is we'll just say, well, he got the over 500, and we can extend him and extend the process along even further, where Narduzzi is continually showing over and over again that his cap is a mediocre season, or 8 wins in a regular 12-win season. And if that's the cap, that's just not good enough. If that's the average, that's fine. But if you will max out at 8 wins but still have win seasons where you win 5 and 6 games, I think you really have to consider moving on. And they've been stuck in between here for a couple years. I just don't know how you get out of that.
Well, you're right. It's not, and it actually precedes him. Everyone who's been hired to try to change the momentum of this program has failed, right? And so you mentioned extension. I don't think there are any more extensions coming. He's already extended through the year 2024. I think they're going to wait and see how this all works out, but I don't see any changes. I don't think they're going to make changes unless it's to other coaches on their team, not him. But you're right. I mean, this is a cycle that continues to be there. And, you know, for Pitt to take the next step, they've got to, and I thought this might be the year. I really did. They had a lot of guys. Now, they had some injuries along the way, too, but they had a lot of guys, I thought, especially after their start, that they could take this deep into the season. But they haven't been able to do it. So, there you go. Let's go to Mike in Uniontown. Thanks, Matt, for the call in the North Hills. Mike, you're up. What's going on, Mike? Hello, Mike?
Steelers hired a guy named Chuck Knoll. I forget who the guy was right before him, but anyhow. What I was going to ask you, Bob, your offense and your defense. Okay, if you remember the old Bears, the old Packers, it seemed to me like the old, of course we know about the old Steelers, the Steel Curtain. Would you rather have a great defense and a good offense, or would just like Marino? He had a great offense, but he only made one Super Bowl and he lost that because he didn't have enough defense. So would you say I'd be overstating the state if you got a 60-40 defense, a 60 defense and 40 offense, that would be more of a reasonable, like Joe Green started the whole thing? I'd like to hear your comment on that.
Well, first of all, Mike, thank you for the call. I think they have both. I mean, they have an offense that could be very highly productive, and they have a defense that, when it's on its game, could be one of the top 5 in the NFL. So they have the best of both. I think this is why this season is so important for them. They're 9-0. They returned a lot of people. The familiarity there, especially with the coaching staff and the veteran players, is so important. You don't see that too often in the NFL. So they're poised to be in a situation where they will be players at playoff time. What you don't want to happen is see what, for example, happened to Baltimore last year, where they go through 14-2, they look unstoppable, they have home field, blah, 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 and then they get run over by Tennessee in the first round, and then you wonder what kind of season was it. So the emphasis is always going to be on what they do in the postseason, but you have to get there first. And I think this team is showing you that they're capable, which is why when people look at power rankings, and we all do that, I've had the Steelers on top of mine for the last 5 weeks. And I do it because I think they are the most complete team. I think other teams are very talented. I think Tampa Bay, we'll see. You know, their defense is ranked very high, and Tom Brady leading the way, that's obviously a plus for them. But we'll see what they can do. New Orleans now doesn't have Drew Brees. I had them originally higher than I do. But they're going to go with Taysom Hill and not Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback. And they got the Falcons. They got a schedule that's doable, as does Seattle. Seattle's defense played well this past week. They've been rather erratic all the way through, however. So there's a lot still at stake here. But I think the Steelers are poised to be a team. If any team in the AFC can take down Kansas City in a one-game situation, to me it's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't see many other teams capable of doing that, given what you have to do to beat Kansas City. Interesting game coming up this week. It's a rematch of Kansas City and the Raiders. The Raiders handed them their only loss earlier this year at Arrowhead. The Raiders are a team that I think is really interesting to watch for a lot of reasons. But keep an eye on that one, too, in the AFC. And, boy, if you're a Steeler fan, if you can get the Ravens or the Raiders somehow to beat that team again, that would certainly help your cause in pursuit of a number one seed and a bye that comes with it. Well, listen, the best place to hear about everything Black and Gold football before every game is the Black and Gold Game Day on 93.7 The Fan, presented by JP Roofing and Siding and Tri-State Office Furniture, 3 hours before every game. And we have you covered with all you need to know around the league with the Black and Gold, brought to you by Morrison Kitchen and Bath, Armstrong Business Solutions, Yinzers in DeBerg. And welcome back. Our show is brought to you by the good people of Allegheny Health Network, PNC Bank, number one Cochran, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, and Ireland Contracting. We want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. Let's go out to the cell on the hotline. Title Man is on the line. What's up, Title Man? How you doing today?
How you doing, Bob?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm thankful that at least we're playing a game today. We're going to get this one in. Hopefully we get these last three games in. And I really think it's important. I mean, I'd like to see us win two of the next three games and finish up on a high note. I'm not one of Coach Narduzzi's, and neither am I a minion, nor am I one of his rabid critics. I think anyone that would make a change or suggest that we make a change in a pandemic year needs to really think that one out a little bit more carefully. There are things I don't like about what Coach Narduzzi does. I think he's very stubborn. I think he refuses. I mean, his pass defense, we give up these long plays every game. You know, he could walk down the hallway and talk to Mike Tomlin and pick his brain about how to set up a good zone pass defense, and he's never done that. You know, 3 years ago, Bob, I was sitting here a couple weeks ago. I'm complaining. I'm harping on, Hamlin can't do this, Ford can't do this. And I realize these guys are NFL players. And I remember back in 2016 when we gave up huge yardage to Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph and Deshaun Watson and the McSorley kid. And I realized that pass defense had three current NFL defensive backs on it. It had Avontae Maddox, Jordan Whitehead, and Ryan Lewis. This isn't the players. The players aren't bad. The players don't stink, Bob. It's his scheme stinks, and that's a problem. I don't know that he's going to change it.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, the Mark Whipple offense is a little confusing to me when you have a quarterback running the sidelines. In this day and age, that's just waste time, and I can't watch that stuff. And, you know, I think Kenny Pickett has developed. You know, the one thing I'll say is that his recruiting has gotten better. And I think he's brought in some people who have turned out to be outstanding players who are then NFL draft eligible. And that says a lot about the ability of a coach to develop players. But for some reason, for as many good players, especially this defense, you know, I thought, to your point, Title Man, when I looked at the roster this year and saw their defense, as loaded as it was, or at least I thought it was. I didn't expect to see so many bad plays against, long plays against, broken plays.
Yes.
And yet it continues. And so to me, that has to be somewhat schematic more so than personnel driven.
I really think it's schematic. I'm not an X-Men guy. I can barely follow the ball. But I'll tell you this. When you have, you know, like I said, back in 2016, when we were getting lit up by, you know, decent college quarterbacks, but we were getting lit up for 300, 400 yards. And then you realize three of those four guys are in the NFL. Our players aren't bad. Hamlin is not a bad football player. He's an NFL football player. Paris Ford's an NFL football player. He's got guys back there that can play. And again, he's very set in his ways. I think he's trying to stop Eddie George in the Ohio State running game, you know, instead of dealing with what teams do in 2020, Bob. That's,
yeah.
Again.
No, I hear you. Thanks, Tato, man. I hear your complaints, and I understand. You mentioned some of these guys now. They have guys who, because the NCAA has allowed, to basically pick and choose their future next year, you can return even if you're eligible to go on just because of the COVID situation. I think that's a good move by the NCAA, so I like it. But they have a lot of guys who fit into that. Leading the way is Kenny Pickett. What do you do if you're Kenny Pickett? I think he'll leave just because he wants to get on with it. A guy like Jimmy Morrissey, they have a lot of other guys, too, who fit into this. Rashard Weaver, he's shown when he's healthy he could be very good. Patrick Jones, I think two or three times already defensive player of the week in the ACC. Jason Pinnock on that list. Even their kicker, who's been, he's had some misses that he'd like to have back, but he's got a great leg and probably an NFL leg in Alex Kessman. So that's going to be interesting to see what they do. My guess is most will move on, but we will see. Let's go to Spencer on the cell, who joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Spencer, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing, Bob? Always enjoy talking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, I have 2 points if I have time. The first is, I think the biggest part of the running game, I think, is the offensive line. They're in a 2-point stance a lot. And honestly, I don't think Pouncey is moving too wild as far as his straight pass protection. Same thing with Middle of the Way, though. But they just don't seem to have what it takes to push people off the ball. But when that young guard that was playing, our fourth round draft choice, Boston, was playing, he was like, actually, that's when the run game was going. I think we need to maybe interject him somehow in there, maybe kick on the wave out for formation, like a tight end formation, and then, I mean, make a true effort to try to run. Because I think sooner or later, you're going to hit a bad weather game, maybe in Buffalo, where you can't pass the ball, and you've got to do something on the ground.
Yeah, first of all, I think Villanueva's had actually a pretty good year. It's mostly pass blocking. I think the run game is, because it's so sporadically used over the last 3 weeks, we've seen it not be as effective. I think it starts there for a little bit. You know, this team wants to come out and start quickly, which is good. They did that in Tennessee, but if you look at it, of the 11 plays I think they ran, 9 were passes. I mean, they just came out and spread the ball over, got a quick lead. I think, again, I don't want to take away from what I think is their identity, because their identity is the strength in the pass game. They have multiple weapons. They don't have anyone who you can, like, say, oh, I'm going to take him out and expect Spencer, someone else, not to step up. They have guys who are stepping up. Juju Smith-Schuster loves the slot. He's made very big plays. You know, Deontay Johnson's capable of going down the field. We've seen it. James Washington is a deep ball threat when they want to, but he's also pretty good over the middle when he's had the opportunity to do that. And, of course, Chase Claypool, who should be in the running for Rookie of the Year, has been extremely physical in a tough matchup. So that's their strength. I get it. If you throw in running backs, if you throw in Eric Ebron, that's what they want to do. But I think at some point, and it may be this week, I think this is a perfect opportunity, Spencer. I don't know if you agree with this or not, to get back to the run game. Jacksonville's defense has given up a lot. I think if you want to get that mindset back, this is the time to do it against the team in advance of a game against the Ravens, where you probably want to be able to close out a game with a run game.
I agree with you 100%. And, you know, one thing I've noticed, I think it seems like Connor has lost some confidence. I mean, I don't know if he takes a lot of criticism. I think sometimes it's really not his fault. But I can tell he seems like really hesitant, like he doesn't burst through the hole. I've never seen him run so sideways as I did in the last game. It's almost like he's trying to do too much and just not go with his instinct and run like he should.
Well, thank you, Spencer. I think what's happened, if you look at the tape, though, also, and we have the luxury of doing that throughout the course of a week, you'll find that up the middle where balls are intended to go, there haven't been the holes, and I think he's kind of indecisive about what to do at that point. He's more of a tackle-to-tackle guy. I think that's where he has his strength. He can get to the outside if a play is designed to go that way, but I think a lot of what you're talking about was been shut down in the middle of the play, and he's had to make decisions, and there have been a lot of negative plays, and those negative plays will change down in distance and change philosophy about what you need to do. So there's a lot going on there, but I think this is a good time against Jacksonville, which has given up a lot of yards and has been vulnerable that way. I would try to get back to that a little bit, whether it's early or late in the game, but I think they have to have that in their pocket when they need that pocket, when the weather, as you suggest, gets bad. Not like today, however.